Up, I'm George Massey. Welcome to the George Massey Show. Car and I are going to unpack this before the 90 days, episode 16. For some reason, I thought this was episode 17, but it wasn't 16. Also, the preview did not state when the finale is, so we still don't know when the finale is. We're on episode 16. Next week is 17. Hi, Diva Speaks. Hi, Gina. But you know, Cara. Hi, Karen. Hi, Wills. How's everybody's week going? Weekend? Well, it's about to be Monday. How did your weekend go? How did Diva Speaks? Kara's here. Hello. All right, Kara, get in here. Joda's here. What's up, Joda? All right, episode 16.
Hi.
Hello. How are you? How are you? We missed
super close
you last week.
I missed you last week.
We missed you. I'm glad you're back. So episode 16, we got the end of Brian and Ingrid. I tweeted out that we can now mark Ingrid safe. You know how when a hurricane comes and you have to go on Facebook and mark yourself safe? Ingrid is now safe from Brian, which makes me sleep better at night, right? I feel like we can sleep better at night knowing that Ingrid is now safe from Brian. And he calls her, right? Also, after the confrontation, he calls Ingrid and he wants to meet with her. Ingrid is under the impression that he wants to apologize. He gets there, and right, which he should, which she had every right to believe that she deserved an apology because she did.
Yes.
But Brian is a piece of crap. He did not apologize. He basically was like, I'm sorry that things turned out this way. And he's like, you know, I really thought that this was going to work. And it never worked out. And I was like, well, you don't ever take any responsibility, because I feel like if you were the person that you claimed to be when you arrived, that she believed that you were, things would have worked out. You created a persona on your profile, literally with a fake age. The only thing that was real was his photos, right? The photos were real. She knew that he was in a wheelchair. Everything else was a lie. And I think that the fact that it took 2 weeks for her to dump him, she was very open-minded and honest, because honestly, Kara, how many days would have taken you to get back on the plane to leave? One?
33 seconds.
Right? Anybody would have been like, you know what? I'm a nice person. I have a good heart, but I don't deserve this shit. And they just would have went back on the plane and left. So the fact that she gave him a chance, she literally gave him a chance to prove himself, and every opportunity that she gave him, he proved that he was a piece of crap.
Yep.
And he really got under my skin this season. Like, usually I can deal with everybody, right? Like, Tiger Lily, she's annoying, but I don't hate her. Like, he really, really got underneath my skin. Like, his existence, everything about him makes me angry, and I don't like it when people get to me to that level. But, like, he really pisses me off. And the fact that he thought that she was using him. And I was like, sir, you're an Uber driver. Using you for what? Like, I'm not even, no offense. And for anybody who drives for Uber, I did it before in my lifetime. No offense, whatever. I've done it too. But to the way that he said, oh, you just want money from me. You want a better life for your kids. And I was like, when did she ever believe that you could offer that to her? Because in honesty, you were trying to recruit her to be your caretaker.
Yes, exactly.
Right? So I was like, when was she ever thinking that she was going to get some amazing life out of you? Right? When? And I know that he goes to Brazil a lot, right? So, and I know it's because his money stretches a lot farther in Brazil, right? I know that we were watching another couple, I don't remember who it was, and they thought that they were rich, but it turned out, damn, who was it? It turned out, Bilal and Shida.
Yeah.
Shida thought Bilal was rich because he would always go to Trinidad and spend money like crazy. But the reason is, well, he didn't want her to believe it. But you have to also remember, your money goes a lot farther in certain countries. So you can have the appearance of being a baller in a different country because your money goes farther. Like, for instance, Lauren had $46 and he managed to make it last for 3 weeks. That's crazy. He's still there. And he had a ring. Like, it really impressed me, because I was like, I think if anything, Lauren should be teaching money management classes. Because the fact that he was able to make $46 last, get an engagement ring, I think he bought some flip-flops, he bought some clothes, he was buying magic trick stuff. Like, he needs to teach me
how to... I don't care how good at anything that dumbass is. I would never let him try to teach me anything.
But Do you agree that the $46 lasted way longer than I thought it would? You agree, right?
I think he had more than $46.
Oh, so you think that he was testing her. So you think he said, I only have $46 to see if she said, oh, don't worry about it. I'll take care of you while you're here. Do you think?
I think he had very little money to go. I do think it was more than $46. Not a lot, but more than $46. And I think that he is such a scamming piece of shit that he let her pay for shit. He didn't have to pay for his hotel because that's where she works. And that's right. A huge chunk of travel money.
No, you're so, right. A hotel is usually more than your flight. You're right. The hotel is like 75%.
Yep.
And then I think food comes in number two. A lot of people don't factor food, and food's very, very expensive. You have to eat more than once a day. So, they don't factor it in. So, but yeah, I think that for me, Lauren.
Plus, he saw a doctor over there.
Oh, yeah. He saw a doctor. Yeah. You're right. And that's not free either. They don't have free healthcare over there. So, that's not free either. So, yeah, Lauren definitely was hiding money from Faith. Which, again, is anybody shocked? No, we're not shocked. Nothing that Lauren does shock me. So let's talk about jailhouse tattoos. Because we've seen, I know I've seen the jail shows. I think it's called, like, what was it? I don't know. I used to watch this one jail show, and I learned a lot about the jail.
I watched tattoos. 60 Days In.
60 Days In, right. Yeah. And we learn about the things that they do. They make toilet wine. There's jailhouse tattoos. There's all these different things that they do.
But
and
jailhouse tattoos are far less sketchy than what was going on there.
Really?
That was absurd. You're using a Leatherman and chopsticks and a sewing needle.
Well, what was scary to me...
Which is more shit he had to buy.
Also, yes, he did buy all the supplies for that. So you're right. Okay, so Pineapple, you're right. On Shibuti's podcast, when we all interviewed Lauren... He did say when he got there, he was waiting for a $300 paycheck to be deposited, deposited. Yeah. So technically $346, which for 3 weeks is still impressive. But at the Philippines conversion rate, that's like $3,000.
Yeah, but we also discovered that in the Philippines, you can buy a normal gigantic house for $2,000.
$2,000. Yeah, more than one bedroom. Yeah, a decent home. He was like, if you want to get a nice home, you're looking at $2,000 to $7,000, which, you know, here, that's not even a down payment on a not so nice home.
Nope.
You know, like, it's not even close.
That's like a hotel for a month here.
And at a sketchy hotel at that. You're not even going to have room service. You're not going to have continental breakfast. We're talking sketchy. You know, like, your car may or may not be there when you wake up in the morning. That type of hotel. I stayed in a hotel like that in Los Angeles. It was cheap, but it was a last minute thing, and I booked the hotel, and it was in Hollywood. Get it? But okay, so it was I had the flight done, but the hotel that I booked, something happened. I didn't have it, so I booked at the last minute. We're sleeping, and we get a knock on the door at 2 a.m. It's a homeless person asking for money.
Oh my gosh, no way.
Yeah, so we just packed up our shit and left. We just went to another hotel. But yeah, it was crazy. I was like, that's so sketchy. And I was in Hollywood.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about like LA. I was in Hollywood and literally, and I was on the second floor. So they came up the stairs and literally just knocked on the door.
That's terrifying.
Oh, I know. I was like, see, this is why I can't live in LA. Because there's no good parts of LA. It's all sketchy. Yes. Right? It's all sketchy now. I don't know what that is. Oh, so we also, I want to finish talking about these jailhouse tattoos. So how dangerous do you think these are? Like, what are things, because I know I've always been confused at how we can insert ink underneath our skin and it's not poisonous. I've always questioned it because I was like, I don't have any tattoos, but I don't care if anyone does. I'm not like, Sonny's dad.
I have so many tattoos, I don't have an actual number.
Really?
I can't tell you how many I have.
That's funny. I've never seen one. So they're all hidden. Oh, yeah.
No, I have them all over the place. This one's my favorite, though. This is my mother's autograph.
Oh, I love that. Oh, Kim got one of her mom's autograph, too. I love those. They're very sentimental.
Yeah, so that one's my favorite. My mom signed my arm, and I had it tattooed over immediately in the same color. So it's exactly the same.
Aww.
Yeah.
So as someone who's gotten lots of tattoos, what you saw tonight... On a scale of 1 to 10, how crazy, dangerous, and stupid was what you were watching.
Well, he needs a Hep C shot, and he tells Faith, put on these gloves so that you don't get ink on your skin. That's so she doesn't touch his nasty blood. Like, that, everything about this was so unsanitary. You don't sanitize your needles by putting them in fire. That is not how any of that works. This is horrific.
Well, that was my thing too, because I was like, TLC filmed this. And I feel like this was the act of what they were doing could have resulted in serious injury or disease or infection. And I was like, so when does a camera crew be like, look, I know we're supposed to capture what you're doing, whatever it is you're doing. But when does a camera crew say, well, I don't want to participate in this.
Well,
right. Because let's not forget.
Also, not only you could clearly see what she did was just poke colored holes in his skin. She's hammering it with a Leatherman tool on a chopstick. That's all she's doing. There's no way to color it, to fill it in. She's just hammering chopsticks into his skin. The one that his ex supposedly did was not done the same way. Not that it's a good tattoo by any means. It's worse than a jail tattoo.
Do you think any of that is going to stay there? Like, in 2 weeks, is that still going to be there? Like, because I don't think that's the way tattoos...
No, he's going to have little red and blue dots sporadically placed.
Right, because a tattoo gun versus you hammering a needle is not the same thing. Like, that's like saying that hand threading a hand needle, like sewing, is the same as using a sewing machine. They do the same thing, but at different rates of speed. Right? So it's hundreds and hundreds of times that it does that in order to make that color stick. Her hitting it two or three times in one spot, because I was like, I don't even understand how this works. Again, I don't have any tattoos, so I don't know, but I know that tattoos take hours, because I have friends that get tattoos. I've even went to places with people to get tattoos, and I remember 5 hours was the longest I ever sat in a tattoo shop for them to get. It wasn't even the whole thing, okay? They just did a part of it. That was 5 hours. Then they went again to get the rest of it. It's not a one-time sitting when you're getting, like, you know, a whole arm. You know, it's a whole thing.
This willow tree is only partially done. It's for my granddaughter, but this was several sessions, actually. It's got my granddaughter's name.
Oh, I love that.
And her name's Willow. I guess you can't see it. I can't turn my arm that way, but anyway, it's the whole willow tree. But it has blue in it right now. We have to add pink and purple. We still have to do the trunk, and there's... That it's going to be more than, it's going to be a lot more than just the one session.
Whoa, yeah. That I know tattoos are a process.
It would.
And I know, like, even after
so long, if she was hammering that into my skin.
I can't imagine. And the funny part is he said he was okay, because I was like, it has to be painful, right? Doing that to someone over and over and over. Because in the scene, they showed her pulling the needle out, and it, like, you could see his skin grip to it, and it was like going in. I was like, man, this is like watching the surgeries on my 600-pound life. Like, I'm not good with blood. So when people are like stabbing something into it, I was like, ooh, I'm getting a little lightheaded. You know, I can't.
Disgusting. They have a special soap spray that after they tattoo you and your blood surfaces, they wipe it and then they continue tattooing and then they wipe it and then they continue tattooing and then they wipe it hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. Right. And there was... She literally had like a dry towel, a dry paper towel at that, wipes it down his arm as he's bleeding out these little tiny pinholes. There's nothing tattoo-ish about this.
Well, that was my question too, because I was like, I think in 2 weeks that's not even going to be there, because I'm pretty sure the amount of ink you need to put under the skin for the color to stay and show through the skin, it's impossible to do with your hand. I mean, people in jail have done it. We've seen the jailhouse tattoos. They all look sketch, right? They don't look like anyone with any profession or expertise did it. But
I'd rather go to a jailhouse and have a prisoner tattoo me than what just happened on the show tonight.
Also, Photo Mom says prison tattoos are much more sanitary.
Yeah.
So that's true. That's true. They actually take more steps to be sanitary even in prison, you know, because you know, when I think of doing that, I think of infections, because let's not forget a week ago he had gonorrhea, right? So I mean, yeah, he got his clearance or whatever, but who's to say he didn't have something else? This is Lauren, guys. This is
I'm
Lauren. So
glad she wore gloves, man. I'm so glad.
She's coming in contact with his blood and doing it. And it's just, I like him for entertainment purposes. I tweeted this out earlier. I was like, if I had to pick between watching Lauren and Tiger Lily, I would watch Lauren because every week, I think Lauren has reached the new level of insanity. And then the next week, he just shatters that record. He just does something.
You just watch it because it's like watching a car accident.
Yeah.
You can't look away. You're sad that it's happening, but you can't look away. That's Lauren.
Yeah, it is. Because I was watching Tiger Lily's story tonight, and I was like, oh my God, if I was any more bored, I might fall asleep. Right. And I think, okay, so tonight Tiger Lily was talking about Thanksgiving. Oh, so I want to talk about something real quick. She's in Turkey for Thanksgiving and she wanted to spend time with the Adnan's family. Where are her kids at all of these times? Like, is it impossible for her to bring her kids over there? Like, because I feel like she's just so quick to up and leave the kids. Thanksgiving is a very family holiday. And, you know, I think since the show's been on, she's went once, two times. This would be two times, right? She went for 2 weeks and now she's there for 3 weeks. We're the babies.
It's
and
funny.
I mean,
I even wrote down in my notes when his mom said, I'm sad that he's going to be leaving me, you know, because you're a mom. And she looked like she was so puzzled by that comment. Like, am I?
Well,
her whole
I
face
don't,
was like in disbelief.
I don't know if she's a mom or not. Like, I know biologically. Hi, Sensen. I know biologically she's a mom, but you know, being a mom, just like being a dad, it involves more than DNA. You have to be there. And I don't know a lot of moms. I think Joanne was the last one that I questioned a little bit, her and Sean. Not a lot of moms will consider leaving their kids for long periods of time. Joanne, she took the cake. She was going to leave the whole country and just leave them. That made me question everything because I was like, your kid's only 8. You know, like,
but at least she brought him over there to see who she was leaving him for.
Oh, she did. Oh, and in other news, Joanne, Sean, the boys, and Bella are all here.
I know you saw that.
They're all here living together. So maybe they fooled us. Maybe they never were going to actually leave their kids. That was all part of the storyline.
Yeah.
And trust and believe, if they're all here, they're filming something else.
Absolutely.
You know that's going to happen. So maybe they fooled us. Maybe they were pulling our leg. Maybe Sean isn't a piece of crap. And maybe Joanne isn't a piece of crap. They weren't going to abandon their kids and make plans without them. Maybe this was part of the... Because, you know, Sean made it seem like there's no possible way he could come to the U.S. and then have to tell all, hello, Sean, you're in the U.S. I think that they were BSing us a lot. So I guess I'll stop being as hard on them as I was because it's a storyline. And, you know, you get paid for your story. So maybe they were full of crap. But... In my opinion.
Right. Pineapple's right. Shekinah's the other mom we questioned.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Shekinah. You're right. Because Shekinah was like, on her season, she was like, well, I've been dealing, you know, being a mom for so long, it's time for her dad to step up.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, a baby isn't a, like, thing that you put off on someone else. Or you're like, oh, I've had this longer. That's kind of like how you, when you're sharing custody of an animal or something, and you're like, oh, I want to go on a trip. Can you take the dog while I'm gone? Except a child isn't a dog. You know, like the child, that's not the same thing. I know people love their animals as humans, but we should treat our children a little more than somebody who's inconvening your situation. Because that's how she treated her daughter, like it was an inconvenience. She's like, well, I'm ready to live my life, and I've been dealing with it for 16 years. It's time for her dad. You know, her dad should take over. And I'm like, well, you, as a mom, I hate to say this, as a mom, you signed on forever, for life. Right?
Yeah.
Like, even if your daughter was 40 and she called you with some serious problem, you're still her mom. She's still the number one person that she's probably going to call. Anyway, let's get back to this cooking situation.
Okay, so she doesn't know 350 degrees Fahrenheit in Celsius.
Right.
Another thing that she doesn't have Google. How can you not just Google that? It took me 1.5 seconds to discover 350 degrees Fahrenheit is 176 degrees Celsius. 0.15 seconds.
Well, what really puzzles me is it kind of seems like, because, okay, so I was talking about this before, ignorance is a choice, right? And I kind of feel like she wants to be ignorant because I know that at 43 years of age with 2 kids and 2 ex-husbands, she's not dumb to know that Google isn't a thing. And like, I have like the assistant, the voice assistants and everything. Whenever I have a question, it's almost barbaric to ask someone a question anymore when you can just Google it or figure it out. So the fact that she's always like, I don't know. How would I know that? I don't know. It's like, it's called Google, right? And it's like, I feel like she's choosing ignorance, because I believe that now that information is so like out there, it's free. Everywhere you go, it's free. You don't have to pay for it. You don't need an encyclopedia. You don't need a dictionary. You don't need anything. It's just right there in your hand. It's in my hand right now, information.
Yeah.
And she just doesn't want to learn anything. And I think there's a difference between a stupid person and a lazy person. And I think she's lazy, because she could learn and know anything that she wanted to know about religion or degrees or Fahrenheit or anything. She could just pick up her phone and learn. It takes 5 minutes to read an article and figure something out. I needed to change the headlight in my car.
Yeah.
And I bought the headlight on Amazon, and I watched a YouTube video and I changed it, because when I went to the oil change place, they wanted to charge me $85 to change my headlight. And I was like, but the headlight's $6. That doesn't make sense. So I just changed it myself, and I didn't know. I was completely ignorant to how to do that. So I picked up my phone like any normal human being would do, and I asked YouTube to show me how to do it, and I did it. And it's like figuring out how to convert numbers, simple math. You don't even need a calculator, you just need Google. And I'm jealous of the people growing up in this generation, because in this generation, we had to, you remember, we had to show our work. I don't know. Remember, we would turn in our work, and they forced us to show how we got it to make sure we weren't using like calculators or cheating. Now, everything is so streamlined and easy. These kids don't even really have to learn or know anything. It's all out there for you, right? And it's like, we actually had to know how to do math because we had to show our work. And if you didn't, you could turn in all the right answers, 100% right, without your work shown, you would get an F.
And Absolutely.
I remember that. And now when I see people like Tiger Lily, I was like, so what did you do when they asked you to show your work? What did you turn in? Because you obviously don't know how to do it. Right. So how did you get this far in life? And it's like, I don't like to call anyone names or whatever, but I feel like she's ignorant because she wants to be. It's a choice. She wakes up in the morning. She makes a conscious decision to reject learning new information. Yep. Right. Like, she literally rejects it. It's not even hard. The information that she, it's common everyday stuff, because she walks around through life and you're questioning, well, how have you made it this far not knowing just simple common sense stuff? Right. Oh, also, Tiger Lily's husband, Adnan, says he wants to go back to Jordan once a month or once every other month to visit his mom, which, and also mom asked for, within 5 minutes of sitting down, asked for a grandkid. And I'm like, so do people not know that, you know, unfortunately, women have a clock that ticks? And it's like, so is people not aware that you can't just decide to have a kid at 43, you have to go to the doctor, you have to go to fertility specialist, you have to see, there's so many different things, and everyone just thinks they're gonna have, because they're like, we're trying right now. And I was like, but did you go to a fertility specialist?
Yeah, exactly.
Are you sure? Like, I feel like, and then next week she's finally gonna admit to him, hey, you know, it might not be possible to contribute or to conceive naturally, which I don't blame Adnan, because he's 22, but in like real years, he's like 8, because his mom babies. He doesn't know anything. He literally walks around like an 8-year-old. He can't cook. He doesn't know what anything in the kitchen is. He has no idea what anything in the world is. I think he says he's a model. I don't even know if he really works. I think that he's literally just a man child. So I don't blame him as much.
His mom said she can't visit the U.S. because she still has to take care of his brother. His whole adult.
His brother was looked older than Adnan, didn't he? So, and okay, I know that in their religion, the moms are like favorite. I always refer to it as like being an Italian mom, like being a Muslim mom. The sons are like on a pedestal. And the sons, because we learned this with, oh my gosh, was it Yazan and Brittany or whatever it was? He didn't cook.
Also, Kimberly and what's his face?
Oh, TJ. Yeah, he didn't cook. He didn't do laundry. And they literally will tell you, you wake up at 6 a.m. and you start preparing things for the man who's still sleeping. So it doesn't surprise me that Adnan's a 22-year-old man child, because it's kind of part of his culture. He's never going to know how to cook, which I think is really crazy to set up your son for failure. So like, say God forbid, he's not married and unfortunately his mom passes away. Who's going to do his laundry and cook now? Because he doesn't know how to do it. Right? Like, I think it's important that you set your kids up to succeed. And I feel like in these, especially Italian moms, in these cultures, they set the men up to where they have to go straight from their mom's house to a woman's house in order, there can't be a gap because they can't do anything on their own in between. They literally have to go from mommy's house to your wife. So someone's taking care of them. And I think that's crazy.
Yeah, it's absurd how that happens. Also, I can't. Okay, so they don't have time to do a whole turkey, so she just buys turkey parts. Ma'am, you bought two turkey breasts. You sliced that shit up for sandwiches and served it like it's how Americans do it for Thanksgiving.
But I think it's probably because she doesn't know how to cook a turkey. Absolutely. That was what, because I was like, cooking a turkey is not the same as cooking turkey breasts or chicken breasts in the oven or whatever.
That they're turkey breasts. You just call them turkey parts. Like, this girl is actually plays dumb really freaking good if she's not dumb. She plays.
Oh, wait. Dumb. Gina says, I don't think they sell full turkey in November, maybe in December. I know Portugal sells turkey legs and wings. They only sell full turkeys for Christmas. Well, I do know they don't celebrate Thanksgiving in Turkey.
Well, she said she didn't have enough time to cook a whole turkey. So she had to make turkey part or buy turkey parts.
I don't think she can cook a turkey. Okay, so I want to ask you a question because I'm not like the best cook, but I saw the green bean casserole that she served.
That was
or the green
horrible. That's in my notes.
Okay, so it's not supposed to look like that, right? I grew up eating that. My mom cooked it a lot. And the green beans weren't peeled. They were still in the shell. I don't know what you call it, but that's wrong, right? Like, I'm not crazy.
It's very
right?
wrong.
Okay.
Everything about that was wrong.
I'm pretty sure you're supposed to use the string green beans. Wasn't she using the peas?
Yeah.
Because those were peas, right? Yes. Right, yeah. So she does. Okay, I might write it off to Adnan. Adnan is the one who went to the store. Could have been him.
I don't care.
But like,
if I send you to the store to get me green beans for my green bean casserole, you bring me peas, and you didn't even bring me enough shit to make my soup. I'm not using it. I'm not going to throw peas in a casserole dish and call it a green bean.
Well, no.
That's like putting cheese on my mashed potatoes and calling it mac and cheese. That's not how this works.
Well, it was comical to me when she said that she was going to cook for the family because I was like, you can cook? You know, and no offense.
Happy ass hair extensions. That shit's everywhere. Well,
I was worried that her hair was going to catch on fire. She was very, very close to the stove.
I was hoping it was.
With her hair. You know, the first thing I learned when cooking, because I worked in fast food when I was really young, was I don't have hair now, but I had hair. They'd make me put a hairnet on so I don't get either hair in people's food or set my head on fire.
Yep.
And I was like, I feel like she might set her head on fire. That's why I felt like, and she also wasn't dressed properly to cook. Because when I cook, I wear like nothing that I want because I usually get shit everywhere, right? Like I usually spill stuff. There's flour, there's whatever. She was dressed like she was going to a party to cook, which also made me feel like you don't cook regularly because cooking is a very messy act. It gets everywhere. So I was really surprised that she wanted to impress his family by cooking. I was like, impressing his family would be catering food because I'm pretty sure you can't cook. And then when I saw the green bean casserole, I had my worries were solidified that she can't cook. I was like, well, there's no way that that's right because I've had green bean casserole a million times in my life. My mom has cooked it. I've bought it. I've cooked it. And I know it's not supposed to look like that. Maybe there is a dish that looks like that, but I've never really seen people eat the snap peas in the full thing like that, other than when you're dipping it in ranch, right?
Yeah, that was awful. It was awful. Absolutely. But also, did you see, talking about how she's dressed, did you see when he brought her the apron and she says, help me put it on? And he goes to put it on. She has to take her whole purse off so that he could put it on.
That
you were just wearing a crossbody purse and hoping for the best.
She wanted us to see her knockoff Louis Vuitton. Yeah. I think that was the, you know, when people, I've watched a lot of Love After Lockup. So I noticed when people don't have money, they want the perception of money. So whenever they're filming something, they have on their nicest outfit. Something that's going to make you feel like, oh, that's really nice. Or they rent a nice car so you could see them driving up in the nice car. When I saw her with the purse, And I was like, oh, she made sure that that made it in the shot. And I was like, so now I'm convinced she doesn't have money. But I mean, we saw her apartment when she was leaving to go to Turkey the second time. It wasn't what I expected. Because when she came on the show and she's like, oh, I live this amazing lifestyle. I only like nice things. She bought like a $26,000 watch, supposedly in the first scene. And then I saw her apartment and it didn't add up, right? I was like, well, people who buy $30,000 watches wouldn't live there.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't a bad, it didn't look like the projects, but it just, like, the grass wasn't cut. There was mud on the ground. Like, I know what really nice neighborhoods look like in townhouses and apartments, and they keep it very well manicured. Yep. And it always looks good. And there's people that they hire just to make sure that you never, ever see high bushes, high grass. Because in order for you to pay them a whole lot of money, you have to see what you're paying for. And I was like, that's not the apartment that you would live in if you were that rich.
Absolutely. But talking about the people renting cars and stuff, did you notice that Joe and Magda, the car she's driving around in is a total rental?
I did notice that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know when they got there, they were in another part of town. But when they went to her apartment, I did notice that her car was a rental. And I was like, so does she actually have a car? Or is it not nice? Is it not nice enough for the show? Like, that made me wonder, too. And, you know, we all call this a Mahogany, right? Mahogany was the first one to do the fake house, the fake apartment. And now we question everything now after Mahogany. Because when we see somebody's house, the first thing we think of, look for a picture on the wall, or look for something that would make this their house for real, because now that Mahogany has fooled everyone. Well, she didn't fool us.
No.
But at first she made it seem like, oh, this is my house. Remember there was a surfboard on the wall? And I was like, we were like,
and bunk beds.
Right. Like, come on, you gotta be kidding me. A single woman, right? A woman with no roommates has a surfboard and bunk beds. Get out of here.
Yep.
Like, we're not stupid. So now we're always questioning it. And yeah, I saw that and I was like, huh, that looks like a rental car. Which I don't judge. Maybe she doesn't have a car. You know, oh, I wanted to talk about Magda because she said something about her dad. She signed paperwork. She's grown, by the way, that said that he's no longer her dad.
Yeah.
And she won't say exactly what he did. So it makes me think it's really bad.
I know.
Because when, right, we're going to find out. I'm sorry, Magda, we want to know. But when people really go through the trouble, because first of all, she's an adult. It didn't make sense to get him removed from the birth certificate. Now he's not tied to her. So the fact that she went through the trouble to have him removed from the birth certificate and now he has no reason to ever contact her makes me think whatever he did was really, really bad.
Yeah.
Traumatic. And if it's anything like I'm thinking, I feel horrible for her because no one should ever go through that. And then if it was her father of all people, because she said after what he did to her, she hated men. Like, for a long time, she didn't want to date anyone. She didn't want to be in a relationship. So I'm really worried about her. And I think that explains why she'll meet a guy and wants to get married right away. I think that she moves at an accelerated rate because she's scared to find something about the person she doesn't like.
Yeah.
So I feel like she wants to get married, have a kid, move in together, and do everything really fast before she... Because some people are really good at second-guessing, doubting, and finding things wrong.
Yeah.
And I feel like she, being someone who experienced something traumatic, it would be harder for her to spend a long time getting to know someone. Because she also doesn't trust men. She actually doesn't trust Joey in general. But the longer...
Time, though, I feel like that's the wrong way to go. If you've experienced something traumatic like that, the last thing you want to do is, first of all, get married, have a baby, and move to a different country. Not once, but twice.
Twice. Yeah. I think it's super sketch. It's super sketch. I don't know what this is.
It's the most staged storyline I have ever seen in all of 90 Day history.
Wait, the most staged?
Yeah.
I mean, it does seem a little crazy, but... I think we've seen crazier stuff, right? I feel like there's
work. I'm not saying it's the craziest thing. It's the most staged. These people are not dating. They're not together. They're not in love. They're literally a fill in the blank spot because Bozo is a bozo and poor Vanya has to come back to America. They are a fill in.
I mean,
they have to quickly throw something together for someone that applied to be on the show that didn't qualify and someone else that applied to be on the show that didn't qualify, they're like, oh, we'll put these two dumbasses together and see what we come up with. And there it was. Because if they were really in love, I don't give a shit what kind of a flake he is. He would have not overslept on the day that he had to leave to go over there. They would have already discussed this marriage and the kids. And these people don't know each other at all.
See, I agree. Jal agrees too. She's like, Joey acts funny. He does act funny towards the whole situation. Him oversleeping, acting like it wasn't a big deal. You're right. It seems like he agreed to do it, and then it wasn't as serious as someone who thought they were in love. Yep. If you're in love and you're about to meet the person that you love for the first time, the last thing you're going to do is miss your flight.
Absolutely.
Or oversleep.
You technically can't sleep.
You wouldn't be able to sleep at all the night before. You would be up the whole night, excited and anxious and anticipating the meeting. Absolutely. And he slept like a baby the night before. So you're right. That makes you question. It's like, how real is this love if you could sleep like a baby the night before?
Yeah, it's not. It's not at all.
Oh, so Mr. Ark has decided to help Niles. Oh, are you surprised that Mr. Ark has like a bunch of money to give Niles? I was a little surprised by that.
Yes. I'm also surprised that he's still alive. But his
jaundice
got me.
That's true too. He did say something tonight that made me wonder what was up. He was like, I want to see this happen while I'm still alive. And that made me wonder, maybe he knows something. Because you said that.
I was going to text you about that. As soon as he said it, I was going to text you.
Yeah, I was like, oh, he did say, I want this to happen while I'm still here. And I was like, well, it's going to happen this week. So why did you say that? That makes me think like, you know, that you're not going to be here a long time, which makes me sad. I like him in general. I think he's a really good guy. Being a father figure for Niles is actually a really selfless hell. He's not just Niles's dad. He's Niles's daddy now because he's paying for stuff and everything. Like, I don't even know how I would go about asking someone to pay for something for me that I just met. I have like, I don't know. I have a hard time asking for like $5. Like if I need it, like, and technically, like, say I left my wallet at home and I asked you for $5 and I'm going to pay you back in 10 minutes, I still would be nervous to ask you.
Yep. I'm the same way. And then if I had to borrow it, I'd pay you back $10 because I'm sorry for the inconvenience.
I'm like that too. When I pay you back, I'll probably bring you like lunch. Yeah. On top of it, because I'll feel so bad that I had to ask, because I'm like that. So when people are like, oh, can I get like money or can you get, it's really crazy for me because I'm like really nervous to ask people for anything. So when he's like, oh, I need you to pay for like, I think he said he had $116 and he needed what, $400?
Yeah.
So he's asking him for like $300. That's crazy. And their money though. So he's asking for like 3,000. What was the name of their currency?
It's like 4,700 CDs and he had 1,300. So he's asking for quite
3,000 and something CDs. That's a lot of money for someone in that region. That's crazy, you know.
But also, I mean, okay, so I probably read way too much into this, but he walks up and Daddy starts telling him, this is how you do it. You stand here, you put your hands behind your back, blah, 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 blah. And he's so structured on everything and says, this is not America. This isn't, you're marrying this woman. She's not American. You have to do things this way. But then turns around and expects Niles to promise that she'll be here in America in 3 months. Okay, even if he went home today, right now, this minute, and started applying for it, number one, he doesn't have a job to finance it, so he's not going to get approved. Number two, he doesn't have the funds to finance it, even if he did get approved. Number three, it's never going to happen in 3 months. Never.
Well, I didn't like that Niles, because he said it in his little interview. He was like, am I making a promise I can't keep? Yes. And I was like, this has gotten you in trouble and on this trip alone numerous times.
But
stop
also,
making promises you can't keep.
He lives with his parents. He lives with his parents who don't want him to marry this girl.
I thought that he had his own place. Did he live with his parents in the beginning?
I thought that's what he said, that he lived with his parents and that, and they're very against it.
Oh, wow. You might be right. I couldn't remember.
I need to go back and watch it now.
I remembered him saying he had a job, and I don't know, maybe that is what triggered me to think he had his own place.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I remember it wrong. I'm
no,
gonna go back and
you
watch it now.
could be right. I don't remember him saying he had his own place. I remember when he was packing. I don't remember anyone else being around, but that doesn't mean that that wasn't his parents' house. That was just his
room. Well, his parents didn't approve, so his parents aren't going to want to be on TV for this.
Yeah, they'll probably avoid being on camera. Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I feel really bad for him, though, because I feel like he's making promises, and now he's going to be owing people money, and he has all these things that he's got people depending on him for, and he claims that he interviewed for a job before he left. But I was like, if you haven't heard anything by now, you know, you might not have got it. So I don't think you should put your eggs in the I might get this job basket. You know, like, because you never know. For now, especially in this day and age, when you interview for a job, there might be 10 other people interviewing for that job, because there's so many people now in the country based on like 10 years ago, 20 years ago. I think we've increased by like 20 something million people since then. So there's way more people looking to get a job than there was before. So there's not as many jobs going on. So you might have interviewed and it went really good, but there's 10 other people who interviewed too.
I'm also curious, because he sued his other job and won. Did he get a settlement out of that? Or like,
well, I saw that news story. You're right. That was in 2021, right? He had.
So did he get a settlement, and it's like in a trust that he only has certain access to, or.
That could be. I mean, because when he said that he had absolutely no money left, I was like, so wait, that means that all the money that he would have gotten from that lawsuit is gone. Or what you just said, they put it in a trust. And because a trust, there's different ones where I think every year they'll release a certain amount to you.
Yeah.
There are certain types of trust. I know if you win the lottery.
You can put in a request for like a withdrawal.
Yeah, you can ask for it. And then like, I think every year they'll release an amount or whatever. It depends on, I think it's called like a structured settlement.
Yeah.
Right, where every year they'll give you a portion of what they owe you, but it could last for 20, 30 years.
Yep.
So who knows? I think that him being broke is gonna really complicate everything, and then being jobless is gonna make it impossible.
Yep.
And he's making promises, and if he marries her and then doesn't go back for a year or two, everyone there is gonna be pissed at him. You know, like it's going to be, I don't even think he should even show his face. Like if he doesn't go back when he promised to go back to get her, which it's a lie. It takes more than 3 months, even in the best case scenario. If he got a job making $55,000 a year tomorrow, he still probably wouldn't have her here in 3 months.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen that fast, especially not now. There's so many more visa applications that are pending than there were before. Like they've barely have caught up from COVID on these applications. So, like, it's worse to try to do it now. And if you want to have, you know how if you want to get a passport, you can pay extra and they'll do it faster.
Yes.
They don't do that for visas.
Yes.
You can't pay extra and say, oh, well, you need to rush this because I made a promise to Mr. Ark that I'm going to get her here in 3 months. They don't accept extra money to process your visa application faster. That's just, they literally only do it for a passport. Cause I was like, well, what's the difference? If I give you more money, why wouldn't you put my, cause you know, if you go to Disney World, you give them more money.
Yeah.
They'll let you go to the front of the line.
Yeah.
You know, it works for a lot of different things, but it don't work for visas.
Yep. I'm so sad. Cause this is going to be the worst snowball effect for him.
Yeah.
And it's just going to come crashing down. His best bet is to get his ass home to America and block her on everything.
Yeah. There's no way. He's never going to be able to go to Ghana again. There's going to be pictures of him up in the gas station.
Yep.
Have you seen this man?
Yep.
Like, he's going to be wanted by the community. If they ever catch him there, he's going to have hell to pay.
Yep.
He can't even show his face over there. Oh, so Rory is on a plane back to Ohio. And Vaya and Sonny met with Sonny's dad. The ultimate unibrow. Did you see the unibrow?
Yeah.
It was. So if you're playing a unibrow video game and there's like a boss and then a big boss and big boss, he would be the ultimate big boss. You'd have to defeat the biggest unibrow at the end. That was Sonny's dad's unibrow. Sonny's unibrow is not, he would only be like the first or second boss. His dad would be like the 10th boss. So I was like, damn, that unibrow is crazy.
I actually almost died when Vaya sat down and she looked at Sonny and she looked at the dad and she goes, wow, you guys look alike. It's like, it's the eyebrow. That's it.
It's the eyebrow. And it's one brow. And I don't know if this is like a look over there. I don't care for the look. I do like the space in between. I think the unibrow or the eyebrow is what gave away that that CEO medical guy. You
Yeah.
see,
Yeah.
it's very, what your eyebrows look is very important. This is what, literally
Absolutely.
what gave it away. He thought he was gonna get away. He didn't, because they saw the eyebrows, they found him. But yeah, so Veya met with the dad. She wore like a burqa, right? But it was sequin. Wait, not sequin. What do you call it when you can see through it? Translucent?
Yes.
Yeah, it was translucent, and the dad saw the tattoos, and he went in really, really deep on her, right? Like, he was very judgmental. He's like, oh, they're completely wrong. And you know, it's, even if you look in the Bible, because you know they don't believe in the Bible, they believe in, I think, the Quran. He's like, it's just wrong, wrong, wrong. And I was like, see, I don't like that. I don't like how, because you know, I was raised in religion too, and I just don't like how, if you don't believe something, you make another person feel bad for something that they might have done, you know, whether they knew it or not. It's like, I don't like that. And the way that he came at her, she literally had to get up and leave the table, because he was literally like verbally attacking her. It was almost to the point of abusive, like being very abusive and nasty. And I was like, there's no reason why to attack someone like that over something that you don't agree with. If you don't want your son to marry her, that's one thing. You don't have to like beat her up, attack her, and make her feel bad for her life choices. I don't like that at all. Like, I feel like your religion and your culture belongs to you. So like, projecting it onto other people is a pet peeve of mine. And when he was doing that, it brought me back to growing up in my childhood, why everything was wrong. Everything I ever did was wrong. And it just really brought me back to that. And then hearing about her story, where she was adopted by like an Amish family, and how they literally controlled every aspect, I related to it so much. Like, look at me, I have no tattoos to this day, because I was brainwashed into thinking that I couldn't have them, right? And still to this day, I have to talk to my therapist about it, because I still, it's still there. When you're brainwashed for, it doesn't go away. I literally got an earring at 18 or 19, and for years I thought that I was going to hell because I got it, you know, because I was brainwashed to the extent where, I, even though I know it's nothing wrong with what I'm doing, it's still in the back of your head.
You know, it just really pissed me off because I felt like Sonny threw her under the bus to the dad. What he, the way he's talking to her, and then she's like, I have to get up, and he's like, don't walk away, and blah, blah, blah. If I was her, when that dad starts bashing at me, I'd have turned around and told that dad, well, here's the deal. Your son didn't tell me anything about his religion. Your son didn't do this. Your son didn't do that. And also, we're having sex. So.
Oh, well, she did clap back, because he was like, yeah, we don't like tattoos. And she's like, well, your son does. Like, don't speak for everybody at the table. Your son does. But you're right. He left her there. He threw her under the bus. I've seen this so many times on this show, where men take their woman, the woman they chose, the person that they brought to them, and sit them at the table. And when their parents or mom or whatever speak, they don't defend you, right? Remember Submit? Submit did it at first too. They don't. And I'm like, you have to take the side of the person that you love. And I know it's hard between a mom and a girlfriend. Like, I know, and being in the middle, that's probably the worst possible rock hard place situation you can be in. But you have to, as I think, to become a man, you have to stand up for the woman that you love.
Absolutely.
And throw in a woman under the bus because you're scared your mom will be mad at you, you're not a man yet. And I hate to say it, but it's true. It's like, you can't please your mother and your wife. You can love them both, respect them both, and have a good relationship with them both, but you'll never be able to please them both. Because like, to this day, my mom is still irritated at my life choices, right? I'm never gonna make her happy, you know, because she's still in a religious cult, and whatever I'm doing is always wrong to some extent. So you have to decide, who do you really want to make happy? And I think Sonny's got to learn.
The answer is yourself.
Sonny's got to learn that you are your own person. And I think in their religion, it's hard, because when you make a bad decision, your family is, you know, they take a lot of the beating too, right? Like, they look down on family. It's not just you. Like, 'cause you know, in Submit's situation, his mom was just like, I'll just disown you. I'll just never talk to you again. But in a lot of cultures, it's not that easy. Your family will disown you, but then the community your family lives in will disown them. Like, it's a trickle-down
If
effect.
you remember
So I get that part,
right,
but
if I remember right, Submit's mom actually said she would unalive herself.
she did. You're right. But she wouldn't. But she
Of
really
course not.
needed,
But
she
what a
needed to
horrible
get,
threat.
well, I think that she was playing dirty, right? Because if somebody told me my mother's life was in danger, I would probably do anything that I could to change that. And I think she was playing dirty. She knew, she's like, well, I know that he wouldn't choose her if he thought that that would happen. And that's playing dirty. And a lot of moms play dirty these days. We watched the I Love a Mama's Boy, all the seasons. Moms play dirty. I remember Layla. Do you remember Layla and Shakib? Layla really played dirty. She would go underhanded. She would say nasty things. It's crazy to me because I feel like mothers should want their children to be happy,
Absolutely.
and they should respect their decision. Like, obviously, if your son wants to rob a bank, tell him not to do it. But like, if your son wants to date somebody that isn't your first choice, it could be worse. He could not want to date at all, or he could commit crimes, or he could want to do a vast number of other things that would be way worse than dating someone that you don't particularly like.
I've
And a lot
been
of
there.
times, right? Yeah, you know.
My son had a high school girlfriend. Then he got another girlfriend after they broke up. Both of those girls were psychotic. The second one was a little more psychotic than the first one. So after they broke up, he ended up going back to the first girl. And
Oh no.
I hated her. Like, hated her. She was horrible to my son. Anyway, but I supported it. I supported it. She lived with him, but I was also the one that helped her move out. So now he has a wonderful wife and beautiful baby, and his wife is perfect.
See, that's a good point. It takes time. But you raise your children to be smart, intelligent problem solvers, and it takes time for them to see the situation. But look, you didn't voice it, you didn't make anything unpleasant, and the situation resolved itself, right? If you raise your kids the right way, they will eventually see the light, right?
Absolutely.
Like, you only need to worry if you, instead of raising your kids, you were Shekinah, you were in Turkey chasing after Sarper, then you should worry because you don't know if your kid is going to make a good decision because you weren't there to instill good decision-making skills in them. But if you did, I think a lot of these moms, and Sunny's dad too, if you instill good decision-making skills in your children, let them make their own decisions. And if they made a mistake, they'll figure it out. Like, you can't coddle your kids up until 30 and 40 years old. They need to
Absolutely.
make some sort of mistakes. The only thing that makes me strong and smart are all the things that I did that I shouldn't have. All the mistakes that I made. If I always made the right decision and never had a struggle or a feeling of remorse or doubt, I would be a weakling, right? Like, I wouldn't know how to handle failure. And I think that's what makes a good, strong individual intelligent and ready to take on the world. You know what it's like to fail and to get back up and try again. And I think for Sonny's dad, I think he sees Veya as a failure. And don't get me wrong, I think that Veya and Sunny shouldn't be together. I don't see any link to
There
put
is
them at
no
cool.
future. She's gonna come back and get back together with Rory.
Yeah, Rory is definitely her forever person. And it's very, very obvious. And I don't know why they grew, she said they grew apart. I don't know what the situation is, but they need to grow back together because
Absolutely.
it's very obvious. Because he said it. He's like, oh, I know how to deal with her. I know what she's like. He knows all of the ways to help her. And he might be the only guy that does, right? He sees it, he can identify her behavior, he knows what she's going through, he also knows about her past. And I think that they should figure it out. If he's single and she's single, figure it out. Right? Like, I'm
I
not
agree.
this isn't the love connection, but figure this shit out. I feel like they definitely should be together. Maybe she could have that baby that they tried to have, right? And I think that will put her in a place where she'll be happy again. Because I feel like she's searching for what she thinks is going to make her happy, but Rory is what's going to make her happy. If it wasn't, Rory wouldn't have been.
She's just trying to fill a void,
Yeah, and
and
it's Rory. It's him. If it wasn't, he wouldn't have been all the way in South Africa with her. When women don't love someone, they wouldn't mind a distance of 1 billion miles between them and that person. They would never have to see that person again. When a woman is sick of a man, there could be countries between them and it would not bother her.
Absolutely.
She couldn't vast the idea of leaving the US without him being next to her. That's how I know that they're in love. And it's like maybe they're not in love, but they love each other to the point where they don't want to be with anyone else. It is what it is.
Absolutely.
So
I other.
that was episode 16. I
Yeah.
heard there's 20. I don't know what's the real deal is. I heard there's 20 though. And I don't know if that's with the tele. Well, no, because next week is not the finale. That would be 17. Well, maybe it might be 20 with the finale. I don't know yet. But we're getting closer and closer to the end, which is good. I don't want to be like, make it end or make it stop. But I feel like this season has dragged on a really long time.
It really has. And I'm so done with Tiger Lily.
Well, yeah, especially with her. Like, there's been no new developments. There's been new episodes with her in them, but there's no new developments. It's always the same thing with her. She's got her permanent shocked face.
I didn't know.
I'm so sick of her. I didn't know. Shocked face. I'm so tired of her. Like, I want her to go get surgery and just permanently put her shocked face on, because that's how she walks around life. Everything shocks the hell out of her.
Yes.
Because she doesn't know what's going on. Like, she doesn't anticipate anything. Everything shocks her. It's just, I'm tired of her story. And I'm glad that Ingrid is done with Brian. Brian is just, he makes me so angry.
That's another one. Brian and Ingrid are done. Vaya's going to be back for a second. I mean, not Vaya, Vanja. Vanya. Yeah. She'll be back for a second. But, like, Joe and Magda, they're just spot-filling people. They're just, like, they're the what do you call them, backup cast?
Well, right, when somebody's good storyline ended early, Brian and Magda were like, well, we need 20 episodes, right? Yeah. They probably sold enough ads for 20 episodes, so they were like, well, we gotta have somebody to fill in because this story didn't last as long as we thought it would.
Yeah.
They refused to film with each other anymore. We gotta put something in there. They're like, well, we gotta make 20 episodes out of this, so we got Joe and Magda.
Yeah.
Because obviously it's not going to go anywhere. But I do think we're going to see him again, though. Because remember, I told you, everybody who showed up to that boat party in New York, Vanja was there, Joey was there, Kim was there. I think Libby or Andre was there. I think everybody that we saw there is going to show up. Because, you know, Libby and Andre are going to be back for Happily Ever After. I don't know if I told you that. They're going to be back for Happily Ever After. Are you happy about that?
No.
Because I think you like, do you like Andre or do you hate him? I don't remember which one.
I don't mind Andre. I can't freaking stand Libby.
See, I'm like indifferent of both of them. I'm not a fan of him, but I'm not a fan of her either. But I don't dislike them.
I'm not a fan of him, but I absolutely cannot stand Libby. Cannot stand her.
Yeah, I would rather see Emily and Kobe. Let's just put it that way.
Absolutely.
I don't want to say anything mean. Like, I don't dislike them, but I don't know if they're entertaining for me. Really though, I would watch their dad. What's Libby's dad's name? Chuck. I would watch Chuck. I like Chuck a lot. Chuck's a good guy. I really like him. I liked when he was on The Single Life. And he's doing good, by the way. Remember, he had cancer. He's doing fine. I asked around. Chuck is healthy. I'm happy about that. But yeah, we're going to come back tomorrow because there's another episode of The Last Resort. Tomorrow is good, though, because we're finally getting the scene where Natalie starts a fight with Sophie, which in turn spills over to Jasmine, and we're getting the drama that we deserve because we've paid our dues. We've been watching these people longer than we should have. So now somebody might get smacked. And again, we don't condone it, but it's not, we didn't tell them to do it. So I want to see it. I definitely want to see who wins the fight. You know, we've been betting on this since we saw the preview. So I want to see what goes on. So Last Resort's going to be hard to get through. So at least scenes like this are going to make it a little easier for me to get through.
Absolutely.
Oh, one more. Poor thing. Last week on Between the Sheets, Gino revealed that Jasmine's butt implants that costed $10,000 were inserted upside down. He said it on the Between the Sheets. So, Kara, you know, we've been talking about these misshapen implants for months, probably almost a year. Now we understand what happened. So she went to some cheap place in Colombia. I don't, not cheap, because she keeps saying 10 grand, but he inserted them upside down. So once they settled in, now her ass is completely upside down, which makes sense. If you take a picture of her and then flip it upside down, her ass looks normal upside down. So it makes total sense. So we finally got an explanation as to why her ass is shaped the way it is.
I almost died when he said that. I
was surprised. And you know they're not together because they've been saying some pretty nasty stuff about each other for the Last Resort, which makes me happy. Not that they're not together, but it's nice to see, because they've been pretending to be together for this last year. So it's nice to see how they really, really feel, right? I like to hear how people
feel. And they're starting to make snide comments towards one another on social media.
Yes.
And I'm here for it.
She started it when she posted the picture of him without the hat on, sleeping, and then he started, and it's going back and forth. I'm here for it. I like it. I want to see how they really feel. They've been sworn to secrecy for a whole year. So now they can get the secrets out. maybe they were 1,000 and she pocketed 9,000. You know, Diva, that's probably true. They were probably 1,000 and she kept the other 9 because that's kind of how she is. Or Dane paid the 1,000.
That's how she is.
You know how she is. All right, guys. So make sure you're following Kara. She's tagging in this video. Next week, I'm going to be releasing an interview that I did this past week. It's with a Love in Paradise cast member. I'll be posting a snippet of it tomorrow. Make sure to find me on all social media platforms at George Masi, georgemasi.com. Anywhere you get your podcast, type in the George Masi Show. Thanks for staying up with us. Everybody have a good night. Bye.
Bye.